But what people are starting to not realize, and I'm not saying everybody is not realizing this, but Roman Reigns is an attraction. What is going on, everybody? It is I, the franchise here, one half of the World Club Wrestling Podcast. Crown Jewel was this weekend. Another person falls victim to the tribal chief. I'm seeing a lot of people having a lot of stuff to say about how they feel about the tribal chief retaining against, how did Roman do it on Saturday? L.A. Knight. Yeah. I have a lot to get into. I have a lot to talk about when it comes to Mr. L.A. Knight. But it's not in a bad way. Nothing that I have to say about L.A. Knight on this episode is in a negative form. Nothing that I have to say about L.A. Knight is negative. Just throwing it out there. Because I know some people will feel like, because I'm not the biggest L.A. Knight fan, that I'm hating on L.A. Knight. Not hating. Not whatsoever. But I will get more into L.A. Knight later on this show. We do have a lot to get into. We have Crown Jewel review. We have Survivor Series conversation. We do have to talk about that because that's the next premium live event. We have a conversation about Roman Reigns. Obviously, every premium live event that has Roman Reigns in it, y'all know me, I will address Roman Reigns. So I'm going to talk about that. I also am going to talk about a little situation that is occurring in NXT that reminds me of another storyline that we've seen in the past. I'm going to talk about the Intercontinental Champion and his possible next opponent. We're going to talk about Adam Copeland. We are going to talk about that and a little bit more stuff that we're going to talk about. But let's jump right into these things. Let me not waste your time because I do not want to take a lot of time. Crown Jewel, the 10th premium live event held in Saudi Arabia. I'm not surprised at the amount of events. I can't believe that it's 10 events that we've had so far in Saudi Arabia. But definitely was, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Had its moments. You know, I can tell that the progress, the progression, the change, if you want to say that much, in the guard of how women are being viewed there has dramatically changed. Just look at Rhea Ripley's entrance from Crown Jewel. I mean, she had arguably, in my opinion, maybe the best entrance since they started going to Crown Jewel. You know, having all the men come out in some rituals type of event. I'm not 100% sure exactly what it, like, it's basically symbolizing, in my opinion, and if anybody who happens to be from the Middle East, from the Saudi Arabia, from that, you know, is in that realm, because I do know that they have a certain, their views on women is completely out of pocket, if I would say so. But to see Rhea Ripley come out and she kind of comes out in this badass, I'm I'm mommy, you know, type of approach was definitely a sign of change in the guard there. It kind of felt weird without Brock. You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. It did, because Brock normally is the attraction. And I'm going to keep that. There's going to be a part on this show where I'm going to just keep on emphasizing that word, attraction. But yeah, like this was the first one without Brock there, and we know Brock is that attraction. So not seeing him there was kind of different, but I mean, overall, it was a solid show. You already know how, you know, I do the reviews here. I do Match of the Night, OMG moment, biggest, best feel moment, and best performer. So Match of the Night, last time I did Match of the Night, I believe it was a three-way tie or four. I believe it was a tie. I know it was a couple of matches that I had in line. And the same thing goes for tonight for Crown Jewel. But it's three that I think a lot of people are going to be surprised of. One, maybe not so. But the other two, definitely. Fatal Five-Way for the Women's World title. That is a contender for Match of the Night for me. Rey Mysterio versus Logan Paul. And there's various reasons why I say Rey Mysterio versus Logan Paul for Match of the Night. Because there were certain breadcrumbs. There was one particular breadcrumb that was put in there that a lot of people probably did not talk about. We'll see what happens on Friday, which was Santos. And Santos leaving the brass, having brass knucks in his hand, but then leaving it on the mat for Logan Paul to kind of take it and do whatever. People could, I can probably expect Grayson Waller to be the one to do this, to kind of be like, well, what, how, explain this to me. I can see that happening. And Logan Paul winning the United States title. There's a lot about that I want to talk about in a bigger scheme. And I'll get to that later. And the last match, which was, in my opinion, this man's coming out match. And that is Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa versus John Cena. And what John Cena, in a sense, teased a farewell, like, this is it for me. If you notice, leading up to Crown Jewel, he did mention how he hasn't won a match, I think, since 2018. And he doesn't know if he still got it. And the way Solo Sikoa dismantled John Cena, I've never seen. Someone said on Twitter, X, that they haven't seen John Cena get this manhandled since Brock Lesnar that SummerSlam, when Suplex City was created. That's the last time you seen John Cena get his ass handed to him. And he got his ass handed to him on Saturday. Solo Sikoa, I think it was four Samoan spikes. Four solid Samoan spikes. And then he just kept spiking him. So it probably ended up being like 12 to 15. But he just kept going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and it was just, it was brutal to see, you know. And obviously we seen Cena walk off and he kind of gave his farewell to the crowd and everything. And man, it was Solo's coming out. It was Solo's coming out. And I am giving a bold prediction to what I see happening for Solo in the year 2024. But I'll get into that a little bit later. OMG moment. Rhea Ripley hitting a riptide on, was it Raquel? hit the Riptide on Rake Hell, I believe it was. And I thought she was going to stack them. She should have stacked. She should have stacked Rake Hell, Zoe Starks, and Shayna Baszler all on top of each other and pinned them. The most dominant performance, the most dominant woman in the WWE right now, Rhea Ripley. And it just goes to show you, I mean, like I said, she should have done that. She should have stacked them, just like Roman stacked Edge and Daniel Bryan. But it was very interesting to see that. Very telling. I know JD, for one, happened to say that Rhea Ripley has defeated all the women on the Raw roster. What's next for her? I don't think she's fought Becky yet. And that's the one. Becky's going to be the one. Not the one to dethrone her, but she's going to have to beat Becky in a dominant fashion to solidify her stamp, to solidify herself as the most dominant woman in the WWE right now. Hands down. I mean, she needs to do to her what Brock Lesnar did to Cena, what Solo did to Cena, you know, just a beating like we've never seen, especially from the woman's side of pro wrestling. We never really see a woman just in a dominant fashion. I mean, to a referee stoppage type of dominance of a performance, of an ass whooping. We need to see that from Rhea Ripley against Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch should not get over and beat Rhea Ripley at any point. Not right now. Not when Rhea Ripley is this on fire. I've been saying this since the beginning of time, since the beginning of Judgment Day, when they kicked Edge out and it became the three of them, then adding Dominic. Rhea Ripley is the leader of Judgment Day. Hands down. You cannot tell me anything differently than Rhea Ripley being the leader. Look at what she's done. Look at the impact that she has. Look at when she speaks, they listen. Look at what happened with the opening match. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre, which was a great match, even though I've said this about Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins has this tendency of doing the superhero stuff, like the superhero comeback. And I'm not a big fan of it. So, let Seth Rollins keep the title going into WrestleMania. I have an idea of what I want to see happen. And I'll get into that a little bit later when I get into other conversations. But back to what happened with that. If you've seen at the end of that match, when Drew McIntyre left the ring and he was backstage, he was sitting on the crate, who was standing right there looking at him like, told you, if you would have joined with us, you would have been good. Guaranteed victory. Mommy herself, as mommy likes to allude to, mommy's always on top. Biggest feel-good moment. Now, I know a lot of people were anticipating the return of one Randy Orton, which I don't really see how Randy Orton could come back at that time. I can see Randy coming back at Survivor Series, but not at Crown Jewel. Because if he came back at Crown Jewel, a lot of people would have thought he would have come back to face Roman Reigns. And we all know, according to the numerous reports that have been coming out, Roman Reigns, this is his last performance. This is his last appearance on a premium live event of 2023. We'll get into that a little bit later. I know that's like kind of like my word right now. I'll get into these conversations later. But it was not Randy Orton that made his triumphant return. No. It was the pirate princess herself. The genius in the sky is Io Sky. But someone that is very familiar with the Io Sky, Kairi Sane, the pirate princess herself, returned to the WWE. She looked phenomenal. I was so excited to hear that she was coming back. This was, I think, a month or two ago that they made the announcement that she was coming back. Last week, they put her in the internal roster, and she made her debut. She made her return on Saturday. I thought she was going to come back and be of an assistance to Bianca, but that wasn't the case. She ended up turning on, or not even turning, she ended up helping Io retain her title. And then we have Bayley. And Bayley looked shocked, surprised, puzzled, confused, all types of stuff. And I will say this. If Kairi Sane and Io Sky come together, and according to reports, Triple H wants to include Asuka and make this a trio, please keep them heels. Please keep these three heels. Make Bayley turn to a tweener. Not a full-fledged babyface, but a tweener. Okay? Have that happen. Could it be a Survivor Series type of thing? Maybe. I'm not really sure about the Women's Survivor Series. Okay? I'm not going to say it. But is Damage Control about to be over? You know, this has been the talk for some time that Damage Control was damaged goods. Like, it was getting close to the point of people being like, I think we need to get rid of Damage Control. And we'll just have to see. You know, obviously, I believe Dakota Kai is supposed to be coming back soon. Maybe by the top of next year, she should be actively getting back into the mix of things. But we'll just have to wait and see. But I am so glad that Kairi Sane came back. I seen that she already has a T-shirt that's out. Kind of, I mean, I may get it. You know, it just says KS, but it's in a circle that looks like a pirate wheel. Because, you know, she goes by the pirate princess. I'm excited that she's back. You know, I was very upset when she left, but she left. She did her thing in Japan. I believe she had a match with Sasha Banks with Mercedes Moné. And speaking of that, I know the Ace had made reference, and we talked about this before, about possibly Sasha Banks returning at the Royal Rumble. If you make Bayley tweener face, Sasha Banks comes back, the two of them team up, take on them. But we'll have to wait and see, because I would not be surprised if Sasha Banks does come back at some point in time. I feel though as if even if she couldn't be a part of AEW in the physical, like she couldn't compete at this moment, I think them announcing that she has signed with AEW would have happened already. And the fact that they haven't announced it leads me to think it's a strong possibility we may see Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, back in the WWE in 2024. There's a lot of people that looks like, you know, it 2024 is going to be a very interesting year. You know, Will Ofspring, him and Seth Rollins were tweeting back and forth yesterday, teasing more of this ideal of them two having a match. Apparently there's conversation now that WWE is having conversations with Will Ospreay. If he comes to WWE, that's going to be a big blow to AEW. But what will be a bigger blow to AEW is if the devil himself, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF, joined the WWE. And I say that, this is not on my notes, but I'm saying it because the dumbass announcement, the big announcement that Tony Khan made at Dynamite was in regards to tickets, pre-sale tickets for All In is available soon. And everybody was like, that was the big deal. But then he released a presser to the media. And in the presser, he named the statement, named all these superstars. MJF wasn't on there. So either they're playing up to the MJF 2024 free agency, or MJF still hasn't signed his contract with his new contract with AEW. And he's really like, I'm going to see about what WWE does. Let me make this crystal clear to everyone that is watching this video. This is not, I promise you guys, this was not on my list of conversations. But if Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF, the devil, who he refers to himself as, the biggest, the ultimate scumbag, whatever you want to refer to him as, if he signs to the WWE, it will be the biggest blow to that company since Cody left. That man goes to this company, the company that y'all know I wave the flag for all day, every day, 24 hours a day. They will put the rocket ship on his back and send him, as Cameron Grimes used to say, to the moon. There is not a thing that WWE will not do to make sure that if they get him, they are going to. And I cuss sometimes, but it's very rare that you ever hear me really, really cuss like this. But they are going to royally fuck AEW over if they got MJF. You want to talk about Chess? The ultimate burial? Let MJF go there. And then, with the now apparent talks of a certain cult of personality coming back to the WWE, if they get MJF and CM Punk in the same building again, mark my words, that story will be better told with the WWE backing them up than AEW. Mark my word. Back to Crown Jewel. Best performer. Guys, want to take a guess? Want to take a guess? It ain't Roman. It ain't Seth. It ain't Rhea. It ain't Drew. It ain't LA Knight. It's our new United States champion, Logan Paul. I know. Franchise. What the? Logan Paul? Let me tell y'all something. Logan Paul and Bad Bunny are the best non-WWE talent. Entertainer, social media influencers, whatever you want to refer to them as, them two are the best. I am surprised that we never got Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny. It could happen in the foreseeable future. But Logan Paul was, to me, the best performer because Logan Paul is literally not a, he's not a, I can't say he's not a train because he does train. He is not, this is not his job. This is not his, he didn't want to grow up to be a WWE superstar. He watched, he followed, but he never said, y'all want to be a WWE superstar. And now he is our United States champion. Now, this is something that the WWE is going to do. They're going to, this is what they wanted. They wanted to put Logan Paul in this position because this is going to bring all his followers, his millions of followers are going to now gravitate to this product and more eyes is going to get put on there. WWE and TKO knew what they were doing by giving this man the belt. This isn't like WCW when David Arquette had the WCW title. No, this is not like that because David Arquette did not deserve that damn title. Logan Paul actually is good in the ring. He's good on the ring. He's good in the ring. He's good on the mic. He is probably one of the best heels in the business right now. So much so that he beat Rey Mysterio on Saturday, went to shake his hand and said, you're a legend. You know, it was an honor. But I had to do this. And Ray goes, you know what you did. And Logan Paul's like, I didn't do nothing. I won clean. Ultimate heel. Ultimate fucking heel right there. Logan Paul. So there's reports now that there's an idea of Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens. And that's good. That will be a good little rival between the two of them. Logan Paul, I will say, will retain. I think Kevin Owens has a bigger picture that I'm going to get into. But United States title is not that for him. The United States title is going to get off of Logan Paul by one person and one person only. That person lost to the tribal chief, lost to the head of the table, lost to God mode himself, the needle mover. And that man is L.A. Knight. Yeah, that's who's going to beat him. Now, this is why I say that. Think back to the lead up to Money in the Bank. There was a particular moment where LA Knight and Logan Paul crossed paths and cut a promo against each other. And that made me sit there and say, because remember, I even said Logan Paul versus LA Knight at SummerSlam because it just, that would have been the perfect match for them. No. Let Logan Paul win this United States title, which he did. Let him win against a few people, which he will. Lead up to LA Knight versus Logan Paul, either at Royal Rumble or sometime before WrestleMania. And I'm saying before WrestleMania because let LA Knight win the United States title, have a little run, and let Solo Sikoa, the man who beat, destroyed, and dominated John Cena, beat, destroy, and dominate LA Knight for the United States title. And that, my friends, will be your new United States champion in 2024. Solo Sikoa is going to be the United States champion in 2024. That is not a prediction. That's a spoiler. Yes, I took a quote from the wise man. But speaking of LA Knight, speaking of Roman Reigns, speaking of the Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what we embarked on at Crown Jewel. Everybody and their mama knew that Roman Reigns was going to win. Anybody that thought he wasn't going to win, I don't know what's wrong with you. But it's a constant issue that I see is floating around when it comes to Roman Reigns. Everybody's tired of the Roman Reigns reign, his title reign. 1,162 days as of today, Sunday. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be 64, 65. But I want to make something clear to y'all. We all know that this is just leading up to Roman versus Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, so Cody can finish the story. But what people are starting to not realize, and I'm not saying everybody is not realizing this, but Roman Reigns is an attraction. Remember when I said I was going to mention attraction earlier? Roman Reigns is the attraction to the WWE. He is now the Brock Lesnar of this time. Part-time schedule. Only shows up for the big events. It's basically the same thing that they did with Brock. And everybody seems to be mad. But as the Podfather himself, Don Tony's, asked us, if you ever follow Don Tony, when people was complaining about Brock, would you, if you worked for the WWE and they said, hey, we want to present you with this contract. This contract, you work X amount of days, X amount of events, making millions of dollars, and you're the champ. You ain't got to come to the show every week. You come to the show every 2 months, 3 months. And I still keep to hold the belt? Absolutely. Bet. You're an attraction. You are the one that they come to see. As much as people want to hate Roman Reigns, when he shows up, they sell out. When his music hits, everyone stands on their feet in unison. When he comes out, everyone is pointing their fingers up. When he says Buffalo, Madison Square Garden, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, Dallas, Birmingham, you name it, and he says, acknowledge me, they acknowledge him. We all acknowledge him. So for people to be upset that Roman Reigns is apparently taking the rest of the year off, don't get mad at Roman. Get mad at Triple H, because apparently it was Triple H that said, Roman, sit the rest of this year out. Want to get mad at somebody? Get mad at him. Get mad at TKO. Get mad at the other people in the WWE, the higher-ups. Don't get mad at Roman. Roman's just doing what he's told to do. I'm seeing a lot of people talking about Roman Reigns' potential, his health, which I'm not going to dive into because you know what? That's his health. If he has any problem, if he's taking this time off to, you know, kind of recover from whatever he has going on, I'm hoping and praying that everything works out with Roman Reigns, because we all know when the tribal chief is in the building, everything is up. Everything is up. Everybody wanted to kind of talk about LA Knight and, oh my God, what's going to happen with LA Knight? LA Knight looked strong in a losing effort. He looked dominant in a losing effort. Which is why I'm saying him winning the United States title is going to be what is needed. I would have rather have him win the United States title first before even looking in Roman Reigns' presence. But because of the popularity and because he was so big and everything, it had to happen. You know, I honestly thought it was going to be AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns because it kind of was building into an AJ Styles versus the Bloodline type of thing. Who knows? You know, but Roman Reigns is now the attraction. And as the attraction, this is what happens. It is. It is. So overall, Crown Jewel, solid event. But now it's time for War Games. During Crown Jewel, they announced that War Games was coming back to Survivor Series. And as I alluded to in the past, I wanted to see the Judgment Day and the Bloodline team up to go against Team Cody. How I can see this is the Bloodline. So it's Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso with Damian Priest, Finn, and Dominic against Cody, Jay, Sammy, maybe a returning AJ Styles, and a secret partner, Rey Mysterio for one, maybe Randy Orton, maybe Kevin Owens. I don't know who can be that last person or those last two people. But I do know for sure, Jay, Cody, Sammy. Those three right there. Sami Zayn has the Money in the Bank briefcase. I hope he doesn't try to do some bullshit, like try to cash in, because I don't like that. I don't like when they steal the Money in the Bank briefcase and then it becomes this thing where, oh, someone, he can probably cash in on. No, I don't like that. Not at all. But we may get a traditional Raw versus SmackDown, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, maybe in Survivor Series, because Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce kind of seemed to be at some point after they announced that Nick Aldis was the general manager. You kind of seemed that there was some type of, oh, I'm going to one-up you type of thing, or I'm going to be the better brand and all this. So maybe we may get some of that. Could we possibly get the title versus title, like champion versus champion? Not title for title, but champion versus champion. But who are you going to get? You're going to get EO versus Rhea? Okay. I don't want Logan versus Gunther because it's a lose-lose for both. You don't want Gunther to lose because you definitely don't want Gunther to get pinned by Logan Paul. And you don't want Logan Paul to get destroyed by Gunther. You know, and you're not going to get you're not going to get Seth versus Roman because I just said Roman's going to be out for the rest of the year. So it's kind of up in the air with, you know, Survivor Series, you know, but we got some weeks to go. It's 20 days from today. Today is November 5th. Survivor Series is November 25th. Okay. Which I'm thinking about it. I think this might be the first Survivor Series that is post Thanksgiving. Because most of the Survivor Series is like the week before, the week after. We got Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Survivor Series. Literally in that order. And it's been a while since, and maybe I got to go back in my, you know, back to think about that. But obviously Survivor Series was the Thanksgiving tradition. Pay-per-view, premium live, now that they refer to it as. And I said it before, I brought his name up earlier. We all know where Survivor Series is going to be held, and that is in Chicago. And let me tell you, they were chanting his name in Saudi. So if they were chanting his name in Saudi Arabia, you can only imagine the Chicago crowd chanting for CM Punk. they are probably going to, it's probably going to be, we, you know how when Dom comes out and the crowd just boos him and it's so loud that you really can't hear. We think, some people think that it's piped in noise. It's not piped in noise. It's legit, like, booing out of this world, Dominic Mysterio. I think that CM Punk chants are going to be so loud that it's going to hit that level of loudness. But as I said earlier, man, it looks like CM Punk is being reported to be meeting with the WWE. It's a wait and see with that. It is honestly a wait. I'm waiting to see what happens with that. I'm not going to invest and put in all my, like, oh my God, CM Punk's returning. I'm not doing any of that. If CM Punk comes back, he comes back. If he doesn't, he doesn't. At this moment in time, I don't care. At the moment in time, I say that. Let me jump into an NXT moment that I want to talk about because it's going to be quick. It's going to be quick. NXT Halloween Havoc Night 2. We've seen Dragunov defending his NXT heavyweight title, his NXT title against Carmelo Hayes. And we've seen the return of Trick Williams, who, by the way, I love Trick Williams' entrance. I love his music. I love Booker T's involvement in there. I love the fans saying, whoop that Trick. But I always said that I wanted to see them split. I wanted to see, because I thought it was Trick. I thought Trick was going to turn on Melo. But that's not the case. That's not the case right now. It's not Trick that turned on Melo. It's Melo that turned on Trick. And if you notice, when Trick came out, Melo looked very scared. He looked like he was like, oh, shit. You know. Like, you know it was me that attacked you. I know a lot of us, I know me and Saad, me and the Ace talked about it, and he was saying how he was glad that they didn't do that. Like, they didn't do the typical someone turns on someone. But this gives me very much Triple H versus Shawn Michaels, when Shawn Michaels came back vibe. Triple H attacked Shawn Michaels, took him out. Shawn Michaels said it was you, Hunter. You know, that whole scenario. Y'all remember that? It's like SummerSlam 04. SummerSlam 03, 04. It was 03, 04. But we remembered that. And we remembered, you know, it was that infamous, I guess, sometimes you got to fight to be a man. Like, it's like that. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes is going to do that. Melo never misses. If you notice, Melo lost the title. Trick won a title. Everybody's backing Trick up. And Melo might have gotten jealous. Like, what happened? What about me? Like, I'm the guy. I'm Melo. I'm the one that has all the jerseys up in the this Raptors and all this. Like, I'm him. Now y'all gravitating to him? Nah, we ain't doing that. Nah, we ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. So I'm interested to see what happens with this rival. Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this is going to play itself out. This can be its own entity. You know, I know Wes came back. He has his eyes set on the NXT title or the North American title. But I do know that Wes Matthews did make his main roster debut. I think he was on Main Event, I believe, recently. So that's a good thing to see. But let's keep an eye on the Trick Williams Carmelo rival that's about to happen. Let's talk about the Intercontinental Championship, the title that has gained prestige again at the hands of the ring general himself, Gunther. And the man who I believe will be the one to face Gunther and possibly dethrone Gunther. It ain't Ricochet. It ain't Bronson Reed. It ain't Chad Gable. It ain't Tommaso Ciampa. It ain't Johnny Gargano. It is the man who brought relevancy back to the Intercontinental Championship. And that, my friends, is The Miz. The Miz, 2 Mondays ago, because as I told you guys, this will come out. They have a fatal four-way. Miz is involved. Miz is probably going to be the one to win. But the Monday before, Miz, Gunther cut an epic promo. The reason this is so significant is because you have the man who brought the Intercontinental title back to its prestige, brought it back to relevancy when it was a joke at one point, brought it back to just being the title at one point, being the title, being the it title. Because this is when Brock had the Universal title and no one seen it, or had the heavyweight title and no one seen it. And then this title, the Intercontinental title, ended up being the title. We all know the Intercontinental title is the workman's horse, is the workman's title, the workhorse title. I'm sorry. But it was very interesting to see this dynamic. Now, I can see Gunther dropping this title to Miz. And the reason why I say I could see Gunther dropping this title to the Miz is because Gunther is going to win the Royal Rumble. Now, this is my prediction. Gunther's winning the Royal Rumble. The reason he's winning the Royal Rumble is because I firmly believe, because I seen something on the internet, on one of the wrestling sites, that Gunther cannot travel to Australia for Elimination Chamber, which I believe will have an Elimination Chamber to determine who will face the other champion who the Royal Rumble winner didn't pick. Gunther wins the Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes' story is now took a detour because he cannot get to Roman through the Royal Rumble because he lost. So he loses. Now his only option is to get to the Elimination Chamber and win the Elimination Chamber. But then he has to pull some strings to get him to SmackDown. So another trade can happen. Cody can show up. Someone can get hurt. Cody can take their place. Whatever the case may be, Gunther, because of work reasons, can't go to Australia. I believe I said that. He wins the Royal Rumble. This is when I said I want Seth Rollins to still remain World Heavyweight Champion leading up to WrestleMania. Gunther, Seth, WrestleMania. Gunther destroys Seth Rollins. They have been teasing Seth's back injury, talking about how severe it is. Get Gunther to hit a powerbomb or two on Seth freaking Rollins, and I promise you it will be the most brutal WrestleMania World Heavyweight title match we've ever seen. I'm talking about possible stoppage. I'm talking about the crowd in a hush. I'm talking about possibly Becky Lynch coming out pleading for Gunther to stop. And Seth Rollins loses the World Heavyweight title to the ring general himself, Gunther. What better way for Gunther to lose the Intercontinental title to then gain the world title in the most dominant fashion we've seen? period. So, remember when I said I see something bigger for Kevin Owens? Cody Rhodes wins the Elimination Chamber. Let's say it's Kevin Owens who gets injured, or it's Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes, the last two in the chamber, and Cody beats Kevin Owens. Cody goes to face Roman, finishes the story, beats Roman. Kevin Owens is pissed because he's like, you didn't even have a right to be here because you weren't on SmackDown. But somehow you managed to pull some strings and get your ass in here. And now you are the world champ. You are the undisputed heavyweight champion. I want that belt. Have Kevin Owens turn heel and Kevin Owens versus Cody Rhodes at for the foreseeable future. Because now you have Kevin Owens sitting there saying, you took me away from my best friend because you traded to get Jey Uso on Raw. I had to come to SmackDown. I come to SmackDown thinking I'm not going to have to deal with you anymore. You're here now. So now I'm going to just take you out. Another story that we can have, Randy Orton coming back. Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes will be a perfect dream story. It is something that I would love to see happen leading up to WrestleMania, because this can be a long stretch of a rival, of a story that can keep Cody, like, he has to exercise these demons from his past in order to get to Roman Reigns. Him beating Brock was one thing, but now going to go after Randy Orton, who we know Randy Orton is a master manipulator, master mind, master trickster. The man is, and Triple H can even get involved, because Triple H can say, remember when you did that thing in AEW with that second tier piss poor company and you smashed my throne with my sledgehammer? Well, I'm going to get my guy, my protege, my, you know, the man that I thought was going to and is a true legend, and Randy Orton to deal with you. And if we get Randy Orton from when he was RKO and Stephanie and punting Shane and punting Vince, we get that Randy Orton to go after Brandy. Oh boy, you want to talk about a Cody Rhodes pissed off and him and Randy? Match made in heaven. Match made in wrestling heaven. And I can't wait. I'm hoping for that to happen. I really am hoping for that to happen. I just went on a tangent about some whole other stuff that just popped in my mind, and I just needed to express that. So before I end, let me talk about the man, Adam Copeland, Edge, formerly known as Edge. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say that Adam Copeland, Edge, is a product of the WWE machine. Don't believe me? I want to let you listen to the guys, this podcast that I just followed on TikTok, Jobber Tears. Their podcast. Okay. And I mean, I've seen it on TikTok. This is what they had to say. Check it out.
We have to admit it, that Edge is a product of WWE.
Absolutely.
He is not that mega superstar that we thought he was.
Edge is a machine. Is a product of the WWE machine. Unfortunately, I agree. It took for me to see Edge in another company for me to realize he is a part. He is that. To me, I don't even think Edge doesn't have that spark that I once seen in him. Like, that spark in him, it's not there anymore. You know, apparently him and Ricky Starks had a little bit of a misunderstanding or a little bit of anger issues about what was posted or what was done in that promo that they cut. I believe Edge has only had one match in AEW since he's returned, since he made his debut there. And he was saying how, oh, I'm going to wrestle all the time and all this, and you only have one match. Your next match is at the pay-per-view. I just don't see it. You know, I don't. And it makes me think more of what the Ace said, and I'm agreeing more with the Ace. Christian has had a better comeback than Edge. But I also take into account, we've seen Christian become who he is now because Christian left and went to Impact, TNA, came back, went to AEW. He's reinvented himself in many different ways. And with him doing that, it's made it to where he's doing better than Edge. And I just don't see it. I honestly, and it hurts me to say it because I'm an Edge fan. I'm not really a Christian fan, but when I look at Christian on AEW and see how much of a ultimate heel he is, I'm like, damn, Christian might be the better one. He just might be. It just pains for me to see Edge like that, you know? I hope that we see more Edge, because like I said, we haven't really seen much of him, like, in ring. And I've said this before, and I'm going to continue to say, I just hope he doesn't get injured. You've seen Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is injured. I just listened to Busted Open today, the Masters class, and they talked about John Moxley and his concussion and the interview that he did and the level of concern that people have about, you know, the concussions and the injuries. And it all seems to be plaguing within AEW. You've seen, like I said, Bryan Danielson, he's hurt. Adam Cole, I don't know if it's real or if it's a part of the storyline. I don't know, but we're seeing that. But this is, I just want Edge. I mean, overall, I want Edge to be happy with his decision. I don't want Edge to come back to WWE at one point or after his AEW run is over and he does an interview and he kind of shit on AEW. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but it would suck for them. So that's it, guys. I didn't want to take an hour, and this is literally about to be an hour. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. If you are new to the channel, make sure that you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you hit the notification bell as well so you can get updates of when more content is dropping. For those that listens to it on audio, make sure that you rate the podcast 5 stars, you know, Meltzer 5 stars. Like the video, leave comments. Let me know what y'all thought of Crown Jewel. Let me know what y'all think about what I've said about the LA Knight winning the United States title. Gunther, my whole idea for Gunther. My thoughts on Roman Reigns being an attraction now. What was y'all match of the night? OMG moment, feel good moment, and best performer. Let me know in the comments. He is I. I'm the franchise, one half of this here wrestling, Royal Wrestling Club podcast, RCW. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, RCW_podcast. Make sure that you also follow the Ace at RCW_Ace. On Instagram as well. We are on Threads, but we're not really posting on Threads, so don't even really bother with that. Till next time, man, enjoy wrestling leading up to Survivor Series. I will probably come out with something leading up to Survivor Series, y'all know. But yeah, it's just keep watching wrestling, keep enjoying it, man. And I'm out. Later.